Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
But Sapphire Lounge was a bastion inside
the... Oh, my God. I've been to some...
The land of the great unwashed in Logan Airport.
Is that the one that's set up like a gentleman's club?
No. That's a Spearmint Rhyme.
Sounds like, hey, welcome to the Sapphire Club.
Would you like some ones?
Tiffany's going to bring you a bottle of Cristal.
Sandler always, these movies, he's always in some place like Bora Bora or the south of France.
Well, he takes his hand away.
I like it.
So how was Harvard?
Beautiful. You feel it. When you're on campus, you feel like you're like, I better have my A game. All these people are here to take over the world, and do not misstep.
Yeah, it's like that at VCU.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
New configuration on The Mike O'Mara Show for Monday. Take a look at our new co-host.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, new co-host. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
What's happening, man?
Not much.
How are you?
A lot's happening.
This is awesome.
Do you have that energy, Mac, that this is my big break energy?
Yes.
It's great to see you. It's great to see that you're playing to type and wearing orange. And
yep.
We're very, very excited to have you. Oscar said he would be in shortly. And, you know, depending on how you do in the next minute and a half. Well, what am I saying? In the next 20 minutes before he gets here. You know, we'll determine whether Oscar finishes the day with us today. So we'll see what happens. I have to give an enormous shout out to our listeners and the people that made the hat promotion such a success. We are very, very grateful all of your support. And the VIP hats included a signature from yours truly. The hats are going out, every single one of them, today.
That's fantastic.
If you were wondering that there's a new sheriff in town, there's a new sheriff in town.
Awesome.
So your customer service will be, you know, any issues with the USPS, just let us know, and Carla will be taking care of it. I don't know if you want me to give all of these names at one time. I think that might be a little tedious, or I could go through and we got a bunch. We got a sheet full of them here.
Right.
That got the VIP hats. Dale from Mobile, Alabama. Veronica from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Georgianne from Colbert, Washington. David Schaus. Oops, I shouldn't have mentioned last names.
That's all right.
From Modesto. Shannon from Leesburg. And wait a minute. No. I thought we were going to give you an audition, Mac. I thought we were going to give you an audition. Come on. Let's see. I'll give you a couple more of these.
Okay.
Reese,
if you don't
from Gainesville, Florida. Charles from Gambrills, and Steve and Janet from Chico. That's the first group. I'll be mentioning them.
Thank you, guys.
Throughout the show today, saying thank you. And it was.
I'm sorry about that.
What was that? It was hats. What the hell happened? He kicked Mac out, and now he's gone.
Well, he stood on a chair, and now he's gone. He's gone. Fox.
So anyway, I mean, what a delight. Really, really terrific. And
yes.
So a big shout out to everybody for the wonderful, wonderful response. Just amazing and really satisfying after all these years to have people support us in that way. And
with
you guys,
urgency. It was
with
great.
Urgency. It was wonderful.
It's been forever since anybody's cared this much.
It has been. It's been special. So anywho, I just wanted to say thank you to that. Rob's got it. Oscar got his. And hopefully there'll be all of you by the beginning of next week, probably at the latest, you'll be getting yours. So we're very, very excited about that. And then it's on to the next big thing, which we have got the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory working overtime, developing new products that will be available for you. We're mapping it out for the entire year, and we're gonna hopefully...
Is your factory, Mike, is it filled with Carla Loompas?
It's they're working very, very hard. It's on the drawing board right now, so we haven't we haven't had the individuals come out and do it, but we're really, really happy about
it.
It's
so great.
So thank you, everybody. I'll be mentioning all of these listeners that got the VIP hat packages throughout the show today. I don't want to do them all at once. It would take too much of the front of the show today. So I will be mentioning those as we go on. Oscar, where are you? Are you in a different place today? Where are you today?
Same set, different look.
Same set, different look. Now,
yes.
Since you're breaking down studios and building them in other places.
Correct. Just to be clear, I'm not building anything.
Oh, you're not?
I'm the supervisor.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, well, okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm not that handy. I don't want to take credit for other people's work.
I thought you loved getting down on your hands and knees. You built the studio down here.
Correct.
But you are, Oscar, you're pretty handy. I don't mind telling you.
I'm not a woodworker, though, and I don't.
Oh, not a carpenter?
I'm not a carpenter. I like being involved when the tech is getting organized. So, because you have to understand how the foundation's built from a new studio, so you can fix it if something goes sideways.
Right.
But
right.
Building, this is what's great, Mike. You may never have seen this actually. For what we do, we literally just take these panels right off like this.
So you can change the look of the studio. Like
okay. This. All right. So they're modular.
Yeah.
Brick.
They're modular?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And you know, I like Mike, that. Speaking of carpenters,
yes.
I think it would be we would be remiss if we did not wish everyone a blessed Palm Sunday yesterday.
Well, you know, that's
was
great.
It Palm Sunday?
It was.
The Sunday before Easter.
Easter right? is coming. That's right. I hope you're ready. Have you dyed your eggs yet?
I look at Easter as now it has moved up the hip parade as
one of my favorite holidays
simply because I am already seeing the car carriers down here that are getting ready.
They're leaving to see family.
There's a certain group. Now they stay more and more. Today, by the way, if I was making my way down south, there is an accident at our exit to get to my town. There is an accident at the next exit up to get to the town where I play golf. And there is an exit with an accident 3 miles down. So for those people that are legitimate workers and slay the dragon,
right?
It was horrible. And I tell you, it reminded me of D.C. when I saw it because this area is growing and growing. And seeing those taillights, what's different about down here is it's such a smaller area that you're able to tell, oh, I know exactly where that is. Whereas mm-hmm. in D.C., we'd never know where, you know, you'd have a general idea, but there's
it'd be
such
very
a larger,
vague. They do vague,
larger so. Area that they had down there. But, you know, getting back to the whole idea of these hats that went out, man, oh, man. I mean, just the effort put in over the weekend by Carla was just over the top. I mean,
Did she, at any moment, ever... And this is how, in fairness to Carla, we probably differ because she's a good person most of the time, except when she's negotiating with me.
Rob, we butt heads all the time. And Oscar butt heads.
Yeah. Yeah. Regularly.
I can't see that happening.
Routinely.
Does she ever?
And Carla would say the reason for that is because she's a woman.
Oh.
But go ahead.
Ooh.
Well, you know it. You're.
It's not because she's a woman. It's because she's willing to. She doesn't like to compromise. She wants it her way or the highway.
Well, you know, you take that up with her. I'm. I have a dog in that fight. One I sleep with.
Yeah, I'm not fighting that fight. We're good.
Right. I would choose a different phrase. Where are you, Mike?
Yeah. that'll work its way into the show today too.
Did you help her pack?
No. No, I did one thing. If you consider packing the car, this morning,
the packing slips and stuff.
No, the efficiency is not. Remember what she said. Remember when we had that meeting, Oscar, and she said, "This is what I do."
Yeah,
this is thousands of items. This is systems
that
are being.
Yeah.
It is like I went out. What did I go out to do? I ran out to pick something up. I think Sharpies to sign the hats. And I came back and, you know, 100 hats done. And she's like, and all my contribution, I have to be honest here.
Yes.
My contribution, much like when you two are putting together a studio, is stay out of the way.
Fair enough.
And I'm available if she wants me. This is Sunday. I'm in the house. I'm available. I tended to my son a little bit, spent a lot of quality time with him. But at a moment's notice, if I'm asked to do something, I will be there. But what I did was sign the hats. That was my
contribution. And then stay out of the way. And when she finished packaging them all, did she do this?
Let's go, girls.
No, it's so much
that
fun.
That is funny. Thank you, Carla.
So much. You know,
thank
she's
you for
the
making
best.
Things happen.
Amazing.
We
yeah.
had one moment on whatever night. When did they get? They sold out
Sunday
Friday night. Friday night. Overnight in somewhere after right around midnight on Friday night. We had a discussion on Saturday that involved the signatures. Yes. I said, yeah. And she said, just write your name. And I said, yeah, but with a personalization. She said, what? I said, a personalization, a salutation. She said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, yes, I do. That's how I wrote it on the, because I contributed to that. Right. The VIP package is not just a signed hat. It's a signed hat with a greeting.
Right.
Which is a simple greeting, but your name's on the hat.
Which we learned about. We learned about it on Thursday, yes.
Right. If you wanted to get a VIP hat with a signature, you know that I signed it and I wrote your name. Yeah.
Yep.
Just like Dale and Veronica and Georgianne and David and Shannon and Reese and Charles and Steve and Janet knew.
Right.
That's the way I did it. She didn't know that. And then I went in and I see where it says personalized right there? That's it. Al Lewis, Grandpa Munster.
Yes.
Decades ago, early in my radio career, we were signing, Don and I would sign a lot of stuff, T-shirts primarily, or photographs. And Al Lewis had this big stack of photographs. And As Grandpa Munster. And he was so curmudgeon-y that he said, no salutations.
That stuck with you.
That was just, you know, so
when an
dickish.
80-year-old man is at
right.
Blockbuster on
God,
Saturday
you are loud.
Morning.
You are loud. That Rob, I will do
excited.
My impression now of Rob's
you got
mic
excited.
Check.
This
is,
Mike,
this
you don't
is
need
Rob,
to do I just backed
this
off.
This is Rob's mic check. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Then he gets in the studio, starts the show. When an 80-year-old man.
You should listen back to the Raw, Rob. You'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Okay.
You blow out our ears.
Okay, well, my apologies to me and to your ears.
You got excited by the Munster guy.
Well, no, yeah. But when an 80-year-old man, Oscar, lands at a Blockbuster far from his home on a Saturday morning, he has a system. Do not violate his system.
Well, he also, think about this guy. We talk about the rise and fall from fame. This man, in a world of three networks on television,
everybody
was,
knew who he was in the
yeah,
world.
Everybody.
Yeah. Every TV star. That's why they had careers if they didn't get another gig. That's why Gilligan and Grandpa Munster and Colonel Klink
we could
and
run for
all
office.
These people.
The Brady Bunch.
They had the Brady Bunch.
Oh, my God, Mike, I have to tell you this.
Yes.
I don't know why this fell into my feed, but Barry Williams, of all the whores, he's the whoriest whore of all the whores.
Yes.
He plays Greg Brady. He
like
put
you
a listing,
had to explain that.
Well, to some maybe.
To the youth of America.
Yeah. From what show?
The Brady Bunch.
Thank you.
He put a listing that ended up on my Facebook feed. He is selling Tupperware for $10. Used Greg Brady Tupperware for
$10. We were two bad beats away from selling Tupperware for $10.
Wow. Hey,
How dare you?
I say... Anyone that would bet against us selling Tupperware before the end of 2024.
Hey, I'm down.
You know? I mean, fine.
If you buy it,
we might go rubber.
We'll sell it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll do it. But yeah, they were. All right. I can look back over the years with the overexposed television personalities.
Right.
The Brady Bunch, Greg Brady in particular, Gilligan.
Yeah.
Constantly. Who
the
else
professor.
Would be?
Professor did a lot of tours.
I'm talking about the different shows that would be just, you know.
Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, Laverne and Shirley would probably, but no, you had Penny Marshall, who had an amazing film directing career.
Yeah, but not Cindy Williams.
We met her. She was so sweet.
She was awesome.
Very nice.
And then she died.
And then she passed away, unfortunately. That's difficult to spin my way out of
and
that
And that's
one,
our but, show. You know, everybody have
you.
A great day.
Good night, everybody. But that, as we said, three networks, that's what did it. Yep. That's what did it all the time. And they
oh,
would,
you know who else, Mike?
Through.
People from Lost in Space.
Yeah, yeah. We had, who was the guy? The professor?
Oh,
not the
oh,
professor. Who was the guy?
Doctor.
Take them, not me. I forgot.
Oh, God,
it's too long ago.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so young. Take them, not me. Can't believe we don't remember his name. Do you and I ever, is there ever a time where I will forget something and like television pop culture, it leaves our brains at the same time. Usually.
No, I'm not as forgetful. I misplaced this guy. It's
trying
I think,
to think who he is because he was like legendary.
From
back
what
then.
Show? I'm
Dr.
so sorry.
Dr. Smith.
Dr. Smith. That's right. I'm trying
Thank
to find
you.
The
I
actor
win.
Name. You do. You do.
The
absolutely.
Old man got it. Yeah, Dr. Smith, and he was
the reboot of Lost in Space, or the
no,
the old
original.
One from the '60s
okay.
television show.
Got it, got it.
And he was the villain. He Mac, was the because he Mac, was always being bad.
Do you know about Lost in Space?
I've heard of it.
Right,
I know
Mac,
about
a
it.
Picture at Mac. This is Monday, and so a picture of if you Google Dr. Smith from Lost in Space, you will get a picture because this is the guy that's like, yes, the evil character,
Jonathan
Hello.
Harris. Jonathan right. Harris. I had to look it up, but it is
no.
Jonathan
John Harris is a retired yeah. Fairfax County Motor Squad
no,
motorcycle
same,
cop.
He
sorry.
Never
local,
told you.
Local hero.
He never told you he was on Lost in Space.
Please take them, not me. But anywho, it was.
Do you?
It was, yes.
Do you all ever feel that? And maybe this is a good if I could just quickly transition to this, that the level of celebrity that we all have now through the magic box is different than the level of celebrity people have through social media.
100%. There he is.
See, this guy's not made for social media. The guy that they're showing right now.
No. I think quite the contrary.
I'm
he
jealous
would be
of his
marvelous
forehead.
If he had a podcast.
I poked you. Know? You. But Mike, we have said to each other in private, there are no movie stars anymore. There are no big stars anymore because the entire celebrity population is diluted. There are too many outlets.
And it's even with the most successful, you outside of people like Joe Rogan,
yeah.
the Kelce brothers that have that massive name.
And
Joe Rogan gets all the credit in the world for booking just viral guest after viral guest after viral guest. And so he's on the map. But as far as successful people that do this, it's, you know, it's so niche that mm-hmm. you've got thousands of people mm-hmm. that are slaying the dragon. And that's not including influencers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There's what is gone is coming to work, or in my case, it was coming to school and saying, did you see this last night?
And it's kind of sad because
it
we
is.
Would all commiserate. Now, would you say it's probably once in about 3 to 5 years we will get a television program that is so viral that it becomes a part of pop culture like Breaking Bad?
Yeah, but then everyone watches it at a different rate.
This is true, but everybody knows about it.
Right.
Which is very, very cool. But it's fragmented. But the cool thing is that really, if you have, I think the talent pool is wider now, so you can get more people that are out there doing something unique mm-hmm. and exciting. And, you know, once in a blue moon, somebody hits on it. You know, if you're right. asking the celebrity we had in radio in a market far greater than the nationwide consumption of this product, would you agree to that? I would 100%. Agree with that.
Yes.
Oscar, 100%. Would you say that's probably true?
I don't see that's it's tough because I'm coming off of a trip to Boston and Foxworth's level of fame when he was in the league, probably as a byproduct of wearing a helmet, is not nearly what it is today. What I experienced
when he's on the
on
magic
trip.
Box,
yeah, the yeah. amount of people that come up to him. And I don't even know why I didn't, like, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I was oblivious to what it's like to be on national television.
National television is still the biggest.
Three times a week, but sometimes five. And as soon as we reconnected in Boston because I took an early flight up. We were out to dinner and people recognized him. We were walking through campus at Harvard Business. People were recognizing him. We went out to get some pizza. People were I was a little off-putting. I was like, this is why. I was happy for him, but I was like, mm-hmm. How do you, like, I didn't know this. And I, you know what? I was almost embarrassed because I didn't realize how famous he was, and I should have realized that.
Well, I mean, in the case of Fox, you've been working with him.
We've known each other for 20 years.
For such a long time, mm-hmm. and he's been out of the league. And he didn't have that level of fame when he was in the league, or even when he's out of the league. He doesn't have. What he has is the fame as a panelist and a broadcaster, a sports analyst. That's that. You know, I'll be honest with you. If I'm in a room and Charles Barkley walked into a room, I'd probably be like a school kid. I would probably mm-hmm. be that level of fame because not only is that national television, but national television combined with the viral videos that you see with that. But even national television doesn't compete with national live television. Mm. So you're seeing a guy that's on all the time and is associated with the most popular sport in America. Yeah. So that's inevitable that he's going to get that level of fame. And, even when we had our little slice of it back in the day, the only thing that would bug me, really, and this is true to this day, if I go to a city and we're doing something and I see that someone is not approaching, believe it or not, I'd rather have someone approach than stare.
Lurk from afar.
Yeah.
Can't stand that.
In the sports world, there's no mercy. Like maybe it's a different level of. There's no lurkers. It's like selfie, 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 selfie. Surf like dap me up. Selfie, selfie, selfie. Right. Hi, like love you. Just want to say keep doing your thing. Like it is.
Did it make you feel inadequate?
No, I was so happy for him that because I know how hard he did look to transition from being a professional athlete. To the business world, to television, all of those, one of them is almost impossible,
mm-hmm.
let alone all three. So if anybody's earned it, it's Foxworth.
And you never tracked with the fact that he gets recognized even when you would go out around D.C.?
No.
I mean, do you hang with him?
No, he's got three kids, so we'll see each other.
You haven't been out with him in a long time.
No, we've never been.
Well, haven't been out with him since he got the show on ESPN.
We haven't been on a trip together like this since he had his third kid because he's being a dad.
Okay.
Yeah, he finally said yes. Oscar begged and begged.
No. I was beaming with pride.
Yeah, but the thing about him is that... you know, he's such a cool dude.
And
he's
so much. Yeah.
He's been so generous with his time on this show, and he just makes me laugh. It's great for me to see him once every few months and then have him immediately sit down and bust my balls. Mm-hmm. I love that more than, you know me. I mean, that to me is
you know what that is, Oscar? That's my love language. That's my love language.
If somebody does that in a really, really fun way, I adore it. I absolutely think it's wonderful. And he is great on that show, and he's super smart, and that's cool. I still have not figured out why he hangs around with you, though.
I don't know
haven't
either.
Been able to process
also,
that. You know?
This is really going to throw you for a loop. It didn't really surprise me, but I was just like, man, damn it. I don't know if I'm this good a person. We get to the airport early. You like that already? I can see that, Mike.
You getting anywhere early.
Yeah, that's what I, well, that's what I mean. I didn't get there by myself. Right. Let's go to the airport. And we had a little narrow window to hypothetically make an earlier flight. And he's like, I really want to see my family. Do you mind if we just try to get on this other flight? I'm like, sure. This is great. Boom. Got home a little early. Fantastic.
Oh, that's good. So you did that.
Yeah, and I said, do we have to? Like, I see Shannon all the time, man. All the time.
You normally, if it hadn't been for him, you'd be at that airport 1 minute before.
Oh, there was no need. I mean, no. But I will tip of the hat to the Chase Sapphire Lounge at Logan International Airport.
Is Logan? No, it's not. I can answer this question. Logan's not any better. I was going to say, is Logan any better? It's like saying, is LaGuardia any better? It'll never be any better.
But the Sapphire Lounge.
But the Sapphire Lounge was a bastion inside.
Oh my God! I've been to
the land of the great unwashed in Logan Airport.
Is that the one that's set up like a gentleman's club?
No, that's a Spearmint Rhino.
Doesn't it sound like a Sapphire? Hey, welcome to the Sapphire Club.
Would you like some ones?
Tiffany's going to bring you a bottle of Cristal, and you'll be hanging out there. That's awesome.
Learned a hard lesson that you need the Chase Preferred Reserve in order to get into the Sapphire Lounge, not just the Chase Preferred. That's the right.
Are we talking credit cards here?
Yes.
I didn't know that a credit card company would have its own lounge outside of American Express with the, Centurion, which is, I still keep mine framed from back in the day.
Next to your W-2?
Yes.
Next to my W-2 that I have right down here on the window. I never used it.
Well, they weren't as prolific when you had the card.
And you can get in with a platinum card now. Yeah.
So for those of you who haven't, and I've only been...
So what time did you fly out, if you don't mind me interrupting you?
Our flight was supposed to be at 7.
7 a.m.
Oh, do you mean on...
coming back when he wanted to
get out. Yeah, our flight was supposed to be at 7 p.m. because the panel at Harvard Business School was that morning.
Okay.
On Saturday morning. And so we had a 7 p.m. and we arrived to the airport around 4:20. The flight was at 5.
Yeah, man. 4:20.
And
wow. Okay.
So and then
lucky.
And he was like, "Let's see if we get on this flight." We had just sat down in the Sapphire Lounge, and I was like, "They all those free food and
yeah,
you're such a rube.
I wanted to book a massage."
If Oscar had his way, he would take the red eye on Thursday night.
But we had time for all these activities.
Look, let me tell you something. When Oscar goes away, I am prepared for any eventuality.
Yeah.
You know,
anything's
Fox introduced me to a guy. He's got a ranch out in outside.
Oh, I'd love to go to a ranch.
He's got a horse farm, and
Does anybody have any horses?
We're going to be coming back Monday morning. You know? But it was
a business trip. Out.
So how was Harvard?
Beautiful. Gorgeous. How do I put this? You feel it. You feel it Harvard when you're on campus, you feel like you're like, I better have my A game. All these people are here to take over the world and do not misstep.
Yeah, it's like that at VCU.
Man, I saw a kid from Florida Gulf Coast University.
Yes.
I don't even know what the news story was. I was staring at it going, he got into a university. And I was stunned. I'm looking at my son. I'm like, I'm trying to set a better example.
Sure.
And I said, and I look over at my son, who is looking at me while this kid is speaking on TV, and he's going, and I just looked at him and went, oh, it was interesting. But
Harvard, in that situation is you say, son, there's a such thing as a safety school. Everybody needs one.
I had a safety school. I did.
Yeah.
What was your
top three?
I used my top three in my transfer as opposed to my first school, which was Marist College. When I transferred out of Marist, my top school, and they were all communication schools.
Mm-hmm.
And my top was Syracuse University, the Newhouse School of Communication.
Of course.
The creme de la creme. That's the Harvard of communication schools. Couldn't get into that. My second choice was Ithaca. Ithaca College in Ithaca, New York.
Sounds same like you're lisping.
Someplace. Ithaca. Ithaca. Hey, that's a challenge. Didn't get into that one. I had two other schools. I had Boston University and American University. when I was told after the fact that I would have gotten into Boston University liberal arts, I said, well, it was too late to make a pivot into communications. I wanted my junior and senior year to be communications. Didn't get into BU. Too many people in front of me doing that. And then I got into the School of Broadcast Journalism at American University, and I was really, really excited. My academic career was a series of, I don't want to say crushing disappointments, but disappointments nonetheless. Syracuse got the letter, absolutely expected it.
Sure.
Ithaca, crushing disappointment. Boston University, tears. Disappointing.
Ithaca,
I would have
Boston,
loved to go to school in
both
Boston.
Both beautiful. Mac, check your email. I sent you a video of just the theater we were in for this panel.
Okay.
If you don't mind, you can pull up the video.
It really,
guys.
And then
I took video
American
for you.
University.
Video for you. I thought about the
American
show.
University.
You stepped up your A game.
When I arrived at American University, I have to tell you, man, it was the fit of fits. I was so delighted. I was so happy. I was so with my kind of folks that I just immediately, you know, to get into a group and immediately get friends is one of the greatest feelings in the world. And I had my 2 years, my junior year at American University was probably one of the most fun times I've ever had at college. That would have been 1980. That would have been, it would have been so many toga parties and all that kind of, it was just great, great last 2 years of college. But Boston University, I remember because it was a thicker envelope for some weird reason, and you always knew the thicker envelope meant acceptance. And I was like, I opened it up. Two crushing disappointments in my formative years: Boston University's rejection letter, and getting cut from the varsity baseball team at Glastonbury High School. Those two were the ones that threw me for a loop. Other than that, lots of success, like auditioning for different shows at Marist College. I love that. Lots of success getting on the campus radio station at American University, and then ultimately in my junior year getting a job at a commercial station outside of Washington. That was a thrill. But man, oh man, it was just like, I didn't get in. Now, when you talk about academic achievement, a 4.0, which is an A average, that's not going to get you into Harvard. That's why now the grading system, even in fourth grade, when my son will come to me, I said, how did you do on the math test? He said, I got 104. I said, I missed the one for 106. That's where we are now with the grading, getting higher than 4.0.
Started a lot when I was in high school, and there was the AP program, and it was like an extra 0.5 that could be added to your GPA. And we had graduates that were graduating with a 4.5, 4.4.
And that's when they start considering you for
exactly.
The elite schools.
Mm-hmm.
So now, it's just it's a different world, and I'm really happy that
let me see.
My kid is so much smarter.
Let me see if I can show you this. I'm sorry, my email's not working the way I wanted to today. I'm going to show you this theater, and you let me know where all of the dollars for higher education.
Matt can't bring
to.
That theater up.
He can't. I just for some reason I can't email. I'm going to try one more time, see if I can get it to him. I'm so sorry.
Do you know the name of the theater, and then he could put it up on the screen?
Oh, that's a
theater.
Good call. If I was, if it was a little bit more of a,
because you know it'll have a donor's name.
If I was a little bit more of a professional,
it'll be the Bernie Madoff Theater.
I think I got
no,
it.
No, Mike,
I got it here.
It's the AMC Harvard 8.
Can you?
And then,
what do you think their endowment is for a Harvard Business School, just in general?
Great breasts.
Well, I mean, it varies from person to person, does it not? I mean, it's dramatically, it's dramatically different depending on, you're not going to be able to. You can donate to any university any amount of money,
And I do.
Rob donates regularly to Harvard.
No, to all universities.
Yes. Very, very exciting. So you walk into the room, intimidating, the room itself.
Well, this is what's fantastic. I did a little pre-work.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Look at that. Isn't that nice?
Mac, I just sent you the video via...
very modern.
And I said, this room is massive tomorrow. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah. He goes, they just built this. They just built this right before the pandemic. So when he was in business at Harvard Business School, this theater wasn't built. And I said, yeah. And he was hosting the panel with the deputy commissioner of the MBA, which was, fascinating in its own right. And we,
you know, the thing about this is it has almost a Kennedy Center vibe to it. All the academia,
yes,
the academia. It's a, it's like a high grade show business, but it's not show. But you can tell it's an academic hall.
Yeah,
you can
it has
tell
a clean
that it's designed for. You know, and it ain't no TED Talk going on there. I mean, it's just, although there might have been. But boy, that is, that's
could not, we do a I live show there, Oscar? What do you think?
That's a great idea.
When we get there, I just walk in, and we got there before the, because he did the keynote, and I was like, I'm pretty confident we've done this for 20 years. I would be intimidated by this room, and he was not. And clearly, because he's performed in stadiums, this was not a big deal.
But performing in stadiums and speaking to a group like that is a different equation. And had he been in the room before?
He had not been in the room.
Oh, okay. So he might not. How did he? And keynote? I didn't know he was keynoting. What was the panel? What
was it called? 2024. Media and sports entertainment.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's awesome. And how was his talk? Because I'm curious about
great.
That.
Great. He already knew the deputy commissioner of the NBA. And the conversation was, you know, the future of sports and the evolution of the NBA as a international sport. But also what I respected, and this will be on they recorded this panel, so this will be on the Dominique Foxworth Show, available wherever you get your fine podcasts this week, where he didn't hold back on asking the commissioner on, you know, how the NIL and the NCAA is now, because of its, if we were all watching this within March Madness, so this is topical for us, how the level of sport and business has now, you know, for the college players has now leveled, especially in basketball. And if you've been watching the games as of late, anybody can win, because these powerhouse teams, because of the transfer portal, because of NIL deals, like
what's NIL
possible? I don't know the short term, but NIL is the way that players can get paid now.
Okay.
So you can get paid as a college athlete now. It's not illegal.
Right. Right.
And the transfer portal is completely different, because you'd have to usually sit out a year when you transfer to another team, but now you can just transfer to another team if you don't like the way you are. You don't like the way you're being treated, or you feel a certain way, you can just, or your girlfriend moves to another school.
So is the subject pretty much how has that changed the playing field in college sports and the way they're covered or what?
It's the business of the NBA.
The business of the NBA.
Yes.
Okay. Was it all about NBA?
Because he's the deputy commissioner of the NBA. He was hosting that panel about that.
Oh, he was. Yeah. So what Fox was talking about? What
he's asking. He's asking one of the stakeholders and executives at the NBA. What is the NBA doing, and how are they dealing with this new reality of their minor league system now not being so amateur and now having the balance of power shift?
Was there an awkward moment when Fox got to the theater and said, wait, they're talking basketball?
No, he talks about every sport.
Football guy. And what was it like when he paused and he said, we have a celebrity in our midst. Please welcome from Podville Media and the Mike O'Mara Show. And notice how I put it in that order for you. Did you notice how I did that?
Thank you.
Oscar Santana, and you stood up, and that was the...
No, I was not acknowledged. I was in the audience, as I should have been.
Were you sitting next to anybody in the audience?
I was sitting next to an executive from Disney.
Really? Yes. Did that? Did you get to rub shoulders, chat?
Yeah, this is... I think it's actually... And maybe you'll respect this, Mike. I don't know if Rob will respect this, but he does like show business, so maybe he would. The president of the Disney Television Group was there. You have co-owner of the New York Islanders. All these sports team owners were there. It was, the ownership groups can be five or six people. The presidents of talent agencies were there. It was pretty much a who's who. Pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
That is cool. That's very cool.
Did you get a development? I know Oscar's ultimate goal was, did you get a development deal? out of being up there?
No, no. I mind my P's and Q's and play my position, Mike. I never make it about myself.
I know.
Tell the truth, Oscar. He was talking that guy's ear off from Disney. He wanted to be the male Moana.
There you go. I can do voiceovers too.
It writes itself.
Well, I'm trying to think. My Disney reserve just as took it in.
Yeah.
Where he leaned over to him, you know, and said, "Let it go, let it go." Anyway, I pulled one.
Yes.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Thank you.
Really proud of that. I really had to work hard at that. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. Mrs. O'Mara, I know you hid the peach. I know you hid the peach flavor. I know you did. And I'm here to say I'm enjoying it on the show today because I found it behind the vegan bites. And I'm enjoying it today. And I'm going to put it in my own special spot. Let's go, girl. It quenches your thirst faster than water alone. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Liquid IV does it all in a single delicious stick. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners, non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Try white peach. Yes, I will. I like it. It might have moved up on my hip parade. Green grape, lemon lime. Actually, I love them all. You will too. Grab my Pizza Hut cup and I'm off to the races. It's so good and so easy. However you hydrate, grab Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free and bulk nationwide at Costco. Or do this, one better. Get 20% off your first order. That is a good deal when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout. 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Don't play it yet, Rob.
Damn it, I almost caught you.
I want to go through the names of our VIPs.
Ah.
Mark from Al Franken, Wisconsin. Hi, Mark. Nate from Broadlands, Virginia. Lorraine from Fairfax. Juan from Helena, Montana. Linda from Columbia, Maryland. Stephanie from Greenville, North Carolina. Joyce from Colbert, Washington. Aaron from Taneytown, Maryland. And Eric from Hood, Virginia.
Hood.
Those are more of our VIPs. We are so grateful
that
you get your signed hat, and I hope you hear your shout out on the show because that's why I'm doing it right now, ladies and gentlemen. Now you can help.
Look, the Kraken is wearing a signed hat. It's signed by a guy from Disney.
Monday. By the way, the fit, extraordinary.
I have to say, right? I love it, and I love having Flex Fit and just Flex Fit alone. These are my go-tos. When we do different hats in the future, these are going to be the standard
People were concerned about this hat on a big melon. I got the biggest melon, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, you wouldn't be wearing it if it wasn't. I mean, we've sold our hats, but that's great, and I'm glad you guys got them. The white hat looks great, and the black on Oscar, beautiful job. Turns out Seinfeld wasn't a show about nothing. It was a show about money.
Money?
Tons and tons of money. So much money that Jerry is now a billionaire. And most of his fortune came from the show. According to Bloomberg, Jerry has made $465 million in syndication deals alone and another $94 million from his Netflix streaming deal. He's also made more than $100 million from touring since the 1980s and owns $40 million in real estate. The estimate assumes that Jerry invested his money beginning in 1990. Jerry's rep called it inaccurate, but didn't say how much Jerry is actually worth. So somebody kind of speculated, did the math, and being the main guy with your name on that show, that's a ton of cash. And he's worth for it.
Yeah, one thing they didn't mention, though, is he is a big couponer.
Yes, he's got books and books of them. That's what he does.
The level of wealth, you recall when we were on JFK, it might have been during this podcast, I'm sorry, where we found out he had a garage just for his Porsches.
Yeah,
he's a car dealer, and then he turns Porsches. That into moolah, you know? By the way, the seminar I'm going to go to is how to turn my gambling addiction into money. And I'll say this now because we have time. Okay. So you know I watch my slot videos, mm-hmm. right?
Of course.
This guy, Vegas Matt. Carl has reached out to Vegas Matt. He might be coming on the show. I got a million questions for him as to where he gets his, you know, his bankroll from. How did it start? Because it can't start with that level. And this guy, the level that he gambles at is astronomical. But he also rolls into these casinos and does full-fledged, you know, not elaborate productions. He's doing handheld cameras. He's doing iPhone right. cameras. But it's just beautiful production values on this, and they're basically edited. They're not. It's not elaborate. And I watched another guy who goes in with $300 and goes to the low limit area to see if he can get a bankroll to go into the high limit area, and ends up working walking out with $6,000. Has a really, really good day, but in the midst of this, you hear someone come over to the dude and go, "You are not allowed mm-hmm. to tape in here. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed."
Oh, yeah.
And I am just filled with curiosity of, A, how they monetize this, and if they monetize it to a level that could sustain their gambling, which I don't see how that could happen, mm-hmm. and B, what kind of sweetheart deals the casinos, I would imagine the casinos are only going to let you do that if the casino's getting something out of it, which is a million views, you know, 10,000 views.
That's, I think that, it has to do with, don't you think they would be more, I guess, cordial towards the guy once he gets into the high level slots.
You're probably yeah. right. There are rules about that.
You I would want to lose your money? Just great. Put,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's fascinating to me. So we've reached out. We have not gotten a response from him, but I would love to chat with the guy because he is kind of the gold standard of doing it. Plays high volatility games for tons of money, and he'll lose $10,000, and he comes back on camera and goes, "Well, today wasn't our day." I'm like, "Okay,
wow,
okay, I don't know about that." Anyway,
Mike, I actually have a tape of Seinfeld meeting with his business manager.
Okay,
I know this goes a little against what Bloomfield said. This is a hidden camera, I think.
How would you feel if we sold the Cadillac?
What, the Cadillac I bought for you?
It's too much car, Jerry.
We already sold it.
We want you to have the money.
I don't need the money.
What are you talking about? You had a check bounce at the bodega.
Oh, is that what this is all about? I bounced a check and you sold a Cadillac?
Well, also, Jerry, we read an article in the Sun Sentinel. It
okay.
says
all
that
right, that's too long
comedy
a clip.
Is
Thank
not-
you. I get it. All right. Jerry gets his parents a Cadillac. Well, yes. Famous episode, right? One of the most
Very
famous
much.
Episodes.
Yeah, well, his check bounced. That's what, and then it became a big rumor that he had no money.
None money.
I don't know, Jerry. Jerry. Hey, Jerry. Vans might not be the brand it is today if Sean Penn hadn't worn their checkered slip-ons when he played Jeff Spicoli in the 1982 classic Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I remember those Vans. I don't know why. They are iconic because they jumped off the screen, and then, what, decades later, they're still selling these shoes.
I just got a pair for Father's Day last year. I wanted them in eighth grade. It took that long.
I don't think they make Vans that would fit you. I
Mike,
really don't.
Indeed,
I don't think you
they
would
do.
Fit into Vans.
Indeed, they do. And boy, can
he really
I shred
did get them.
When
he was excited.
Them.
Everyone told us. I was like,
"You really got a pair
you're
of Vans?
55
yes,
years
absolutely.
Old.
Yeah.
I would love to see a photo of your feet in Vans. That would be special.
Go to my OnlyFans.
That's very exciting.
It's always feet with you.
Now, more than 40 years later, the owner of Vans has finally had a chance to thank him. Steve Van Doren. Hello. Hey, there's the guy. All right. What's his name?
Charlie.
Charlie Van Doren. That's the guy in the quiz show.
Yeah.
The son. Steve Van Doren is the son of the company's co-founder. He was in Hawaii
Van.
About a year ago.
His middle name is Van, of course.
Steve Vans. Vans. There we go.
There you go.
He was tipped off that Sean Penn was in a nearby restaurant, so he went in and he introduced himself and said, quote, "You made my life so much better, Charlie." No, I'm sorry. He didn't sound like that guy. "You made my life so much better because of what you did for the brand." Then he gave the owner of the restaurant his credit card and paid for Sean's dinner. Mm. So, there you go.
Well, he should pay for everything.
Do you think Sean was into it? Probably not, right? Sean would
No,
be too
I
cool
think
for
he
that.
Was probably. I mean, if you're care. Cordial, he's a nice enough guy. But I mean, that guy should be buying him dinner every night.
But can you imagine because, you're Sean Penn, right?
Yeah.
Haitian relief.
That's like a
political activist,
celebrity.
Ultimate cool yes. dude, right? Ultimate cool dude. Guy walks over and goes, I'm the owner of the company, and you showed our shoes.
If it was just a thank you, he probably took it well.
He helped the federal government, this is alleged, take down El Chapo. The guy doesn't care. He's good.
That's Sean Penn. He's a megastar. In the era of sequels and reboots, this news might not be too surprising, but I still smiled when I heard it. Adam Sandler is reportedly working on a script for Happy Gilmore 2. The first film came out in 1996.
Working, Mike. It's going to take dozens of revisions.
Christopher McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin, who's a great actor, great character actor. Mm-hmm. He says Adam showed him the first draft of the script a few weeks ago. Quote, Adam says, McDonald, you're going to love this. I thought, wow, that would be awesome. So it's in the works, fans. Demand it. Damn it. He wants to do it. I saw a little clip of him giving the thumbs up to the project. Unclear if it's part of Adam's deal with Netflix. The platform declined to comment.
Oh, I bet there's something in there about that.
I have a prediction.
We're going to make Happy Gilmore 2.
I have a prediction that it will be a Netflix project, and it will be Happy Gilmore in some amazing vacation destination.
No, it's because the senior tour. They already have a premise. PGA tour.
Okay, but does the senior tour ever play Hawaii?
Yes.
Because Sandler always, these movies, he's always in some place like Bora Bora or the south of France.
Well, he takes his
family. Like do it.
If you're an Amazon driver and you're peeing in a bottle right now, please know your job is in very high demand. A new study looked at the top jobs people are Googling right now. Amazon is the clear winner in the U.S. and worldwide. Well, Amazon does an amazing outreach program for jobs in the United States. I think they actively pursue people because they're so large and they need the manpower. Mm-hmm. It looked at 6 months' worth of searches involving specific keywords. Here are the most in-demand jobs according to America's Googling habits. Number five, receptionist jobs. That's kind of surprising. I didn't know that. Number four, data analyst jobs. Number three, flight attendant jobs. I would think that surprised me based on the crap they take in many cases.
Like my sister-in-law.
Number two, virtual assistant jobs, meaning a personal assistant who works from home. That doesn't surprise me. And Amazon at number one. The rest of the top 10 are for software engineers, delivery drivers, HR reps, administrative assistants, and servers. So,
any word, where does circus come in?
Circus did not make the list, Rob, but you can still Google it every night. Like, I know you still want to do it.
I do.
You've gone from the trapeze to now you just want to handle the horses.
And boy, do I. Mike, yeah. I donate every night. Every night I donate to colleges. Google circus jobs.
That's your routine. This is the biggest news for bald men since the shaved head look came into style. Toupees. Now, Mac, hold off on the video with this until I tell you to play it. Toupee, because this video shows you. It sold me, and I'm not getting a toupee.
Oscar, listen up.
Posted a write-up on how the hyper-realistic ones are the hottest new flex. They've gotten a lot better since their heyday in the 80s. The good ones use real hair that's stitched into a piece of polyester thin enough to sweat through. They glue it to your scalp and give you the exact haircut you want. So they put a mop of hair on you, and then they cut the hair on the better get a good haircut there. The downside is they're not cheap. Good ones cost several thousand dollars, and even those don't last long. You might need a new toupee every 2 or 3 years. Sure. Every year or two, actually. It's still cheaper than a hair transplant, especially if you're fully bald, and there is a growing movement to normalize it, so eventually wigs for men might not be seeming weird at all. Show how they do it. This will fascinate you.
It does.
Because it's really cool the way you can go ahead and play the video, Mac. There it is. There's the bald guy. Dan O'Brien sitting in the chair. Now he's getting a trim around the outside.
Oh, they're setting him up. Yeah, they're setting him up for the wig.
Now they come over, they scrub his head.
A toupee and a wig is the same thing, right? Or no?
Essentially, a toupee is for a man.
Now they're gluing the glue onto the tube.
It looks like Elmer's glue. It's not, though.
Now they're putting the glue on top of his head. And then she's real. Look at how thin that layer of polyester is. All right. Now here's the cool part. Tell me if you're not sold when you see this. I totally. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Look at that.
Huge.
You know, because that guy, this is a great time to look at the video if you're into this. There are some people that look great bald, and there are others that do not. That guy did not look great bald.
He did not. He looked way too young to be bald. Yeah. The perfect candidate for something like that. And, you know, I think it was very, very interesting.
So the problem with a bad-looking bald guy is when they leave the hair around their ears like Gavin McLeod. Oh. You have to really embrace it if you're going
to
do it.
I'd like to shout out to Nance Blake from WYRE, who I was so clueless, I didn't realize it until I raced Nance in the pool of our business manager, and I beat him by a pool length, not a pool length, by a yard or so, and he came in and it kind of flipped up.
Yeah.
And I saw the
like in Tommy
hair,
Boy?
The hair that was left exactly like Tommy Boy. And that's scary when you see that.
Yeah,
so it's like it is. A weird thing. Finally today, a divorce lawyer has sparked fierce debate after revealing the five occupations that she believes feature the highest percentage of cheaters. Her name is Kate Simons of the Arizona-based Simons Law Group. She initially posted her list to Instagram Reels last year before later sharing it, the same footage, which subsequently went viral. They got about 300,000 views. Pilots and flight attendants, men in the military, bartenders, and more were all listed by the lawyer. The legal claimed that cops were the second most likely professionals to stray from their spouses. She concluded by naming and shaming the job where she had seen the highest number of unfaithful employees. Firefighting.
Wow.
Simons lit a metaphorical match with her list as furious commenters accused the attorney of arson by torching firefighters. Somebody wrote, "This is toxic as F," one railed. "All the firefighters I know are true family men. He doth protest too much."
Well, aren't they really doing their job if they're doing that as well? They're putting out the flames down there.
Putting out the flames down there.
And nowhere on that list says circus. I just want you guys to know.
I have more than enough hair down there. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody, it's getting to be springtime in the nation's capital. All right, yeah. Everyone is looking for one thing. No, not the stupid eclipse, you idiot. We're all looking forward to seeing Oscar on his electric e-bike.
Yeah, Oscar.
You love it, right?
Well, it's raining today, but otherwise, this is what I love about the e-bike. Two things. One, you don't have to deal with traffic, especially if you live in a city like D.C. The range is incredible. Absolutely incredible. I don't even have to recharge it. I haven't recharged it since 3 weeks ago because I have a mile and a half.
You know what Richard Dreyfuss would say to you?
What's that?
Today? There's no reason you can't hop on that thing and put on a flicker. Riders of all abilities can explore with electric e-bikes. Go to electricebikes.com to learn more about their wide selection of e-bikes that start at just $799. That's electricebikes.com. It has durable features and accessories for added safety, convenience, and control. You can save on gas, parking, and maintenance, and financing starts as low as $49 per month. You know, if you don't ride your electric e-bike in the rain, you don't ride.
Amen.
Plus,
brother.
Electric e-bikes fold up ship-free and come pre-assembled. By the way, that is an old motorcycle line.
Yeah.
If you don't ride in the rain, you don't ride. Jimmy and I found that out when we took our motorcycles to Laconia, New Hampshire. Or I should say, Laconia, New Hampshire. You'll be on the road in no time. It goes 150 miles on one charge. Explore 2024 with electric e-bikes, the most accessible and adventurous e-bikes ever. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more. And be sure to mention the Mike O'Mara Show sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
Mike,
welcome back. Yes.
You did that Richard Dreyfuss, yes. Which made me think of Jaws, which made me think of...
My Richard Dreyfuss is a little closer to Daffy Duck.
Yeah, but it made me think of Paul Christine, Paul Blair Christine.
Yeah.
Do you think he prints those menus up just for Facebook? Or do you think he prints them for his family to know what's coming?
You know, all I know is I was so jealous of that his menu.
Was that yesterday's Palm post? Sunday. I saw it.
It was yesterday's post for Palm Sunday. His wife, Debbie Christine, was put a
Hall
menu
of Fame
out.
Listener, Debbie Christine.
Absolutely. By the way, speaking of Hall of Fame listeners, Joshua from Portland, Maine, John from Catonsville, Brent from Wichita, Kansas, Doug from Spokane, Washington, Pete from Manteca. Is it Manteca or Manteca, California? I'm not sure. Tracy from Benton, Arkansas, John from Martinsburg, West Virginia, Michael from Spokane, Dirk from Spokane. We know that guy.
Mm.
Thomas from Sloan, Iowa, and Sean from Elk Grove, California. Those are more of our VIPs. Thank you so much for getting your hat signed by yours truly. We appreciate that. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What do you really think?
Because you go to like a buffet and they will have each dish labeled, right? Even if it's obvious. Eggs, you know, something like that. But he has like a, looks like stationery, special eating stationery, I
he
guess.
He probably puts it on the table and, you know, I don't know.
But
I'm not
modern
sure.
Day printers can print anything.
It's a feast.
Yeah. It is a feast.
And he had tenderloin, and he had crabs, and he had shrimp, and everything good on that list. It was great.
Antipasto, dessert, everything.
I got all choked up thinking about that. Fantastic.
It looked great. You threatened to move up there, Mike.
I did. Have you ever heard of virtual kidnapping? Either one of you. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You know, sometimes this, I would say one out of every 6-7 weeks. That's how rare it is. I'll be in the morning watching the local news, and something will come across the news, and I will put it on my show because I am that into it. This was a news story they had about virtual kidnapping, and it shows a lovely young lady, appeared to be in her mid to late teens, and she's sitting there with her father, who owned an appliance store, and he tells the story on how this guy got his daughter's voice through AI and was able to plug in some dialogue that made her sound panicked and
afraid. No, just like we did
with
you we basically mimicked your voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's out there now, not asking for a king's ransom, asking for $5,000, got her in the back of the car if you want to hear from her, she's here. Hi, Daddy, I'm okay, and that type of thing. And it is. It was kind of a be on the lookout. I mean, it's the local news, so be afraid. Be very afraid of everything. But that's what they're doing now.
Do they say that we should have AI a password, a family password that would verify any of these options? I guess that's a good remedy,
I don't
right?
know. They didn't. You know, I didn't get. I just got into the, like so many people who watch local news. I tune out after the fear factor.
Yeah,
that's when, you know, if there's a solution, I don't care about a solution. Onto the car that drove into the canal.
I've heard other somewhat stories like this. I didn't know it was called virtual kidnapping. And the remedy is to have a private family password. And this all started with with banks, Mike, in case somebody's going to call and say, I need something wired. So even with your – because it was almost like a business fraud where you'd get a call from your CFO where their face – their voice was mimicked. And you're like, okay, go ahead and transfer. This is the transfer number. And then, boom, it's a corporate it's corporate fraud.
It's terrifying.
The other side –
it's terrifying.
But so they – from a business perspective, they told us – like Charlie and I have a password, Charlie Bernie and I, if there's ever any financial transactions. And –
well, how come you and I don't have one?
Because Andrew doesn't let us do anything. We got to call. The same guy.
Right about that. And I'm way. It's almost April.
Yeah.
I'm in so much trouble.
Abe, this is the last Monday. In March.
Oh, I know what's coming, and I'm just putting my head in the sand. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just putting my hand in the sand. You tapped the nest egg. You tapped the nest egg. But anyway, that's my own trouble.
A family password would help.
More troubles than a monkey on a rock.
A family
Oscar, I have a question. about your family password idea. And I use this sometimes when I get, just to screw with them, if I get a robotic sales call, the way to defeat them is to ask what today's date is. And I wonder if you were to ask a virtual voice, they wouldn't have that prompt reply. Just say, honey, what
is today's date? Well, if you've got an unscrupulous kidnapper.
They could just type it in and it'll say
They say, I'm sorry, we're not doing it.
Or they can just,
the software works,
you can type it in and it'll generate it. Once you mask the voice and you mimic it. But it would have to be something that you would never use anywhere else. Like, for example, we use the joke, the password is penis.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have said that enough times on the show that we're not going to be able to use that as a show password.
Hello, Oscar.
That's true.
Oscar, I'm at the bank. The password is Cinco de Mayo.
If Sex Boy ever called me and said he needed a transaction,
I thought that was Charlie.
That might
Bernie.
Be a situation.
Sex Boy.
Now, just to sex be clear, boy. Sex Boy, you don't have sex.
No, I travel the world finding people that have sex. Sex Boy.
What? A wild character,
the most twisted character that we've ever created.
My old sex boy sounded better. I got to tweak sex boy. Well, not exactly something I plan on putting in regular circulation. Before we go to break here, actually, we have to go to break.
Okay.
We have to go to break because we have no choice. That's the way. When we come back, Rob may have a friend, Oscar.
I love
this. He may have a friend.
Could happen.
This is exciting news. We will take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's talk about our friends at Legacy Box. Just like us, you're going to love it. Spring cleaning is upon us, but there is one meaningful box you don't throw away when cleaning out your closet. It's the box filled with your family's videotapes and photos. Preserve them for eternity. Legacy Box makes it easy. Load your Legacy Box with your old tapes, film, and pictures and send it back. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or on the cloud, ready to watch and easy to share. It's so simple, it's like magic. Preserving your family's heritage is the only way to ensure your legacy is safe for generations. Join over 1 million families that have trusted Legacy Box. Don't wait. It's simple, affordable, and they take care of everything. Thanks to Legacy Box, I can visit with my mom and dad, watch them smoke.
Stop it.
It's terrible, but it's true. We smoke. Always cigarettes.
Yeah, it was the deal.
My mom quit when she was in her 50s. That's why she lived to 95. I can do that anytime I please. It's the best. Check protecting your memories off your spring cleaning to-do list with Legacy Box. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS to unlock this incredible offer. Rob Spiewak came into the studio today before you got here, Oscar, and he said, Mike, I may have found a friend.
Ooh. Yes.
And for a man who is essentially a shut-in now, that is a pretty big deal, isn't it, Rob?
It's someone who reached out to me, and I think that must be the key. But before I tell this brief tale, I have to ask Oscar, what do you know about the Electric Light Orchestra, or ELO? Do you know that band?
I'm familiar with it, but I'm not.
Can you name any of their songs?
Absolutely not.
For example, you'll know this.
Turn to Stone. Don't Let Me Down.
One of the greatest produced records ever.
I think you all put me on.
Not as good as Turn to Stone. I can't believe you're playing that one.
You all put me on.
Really? You like Turn to Stone better?
Turn to Stone is that's the best one they ever made.
I you know what? Perhaps you're right.
Are you playing it?
Oh, this is it? Yeah.
Power 105. WAVA, here's ELO to play for you.
But he is a brilliant producer, engineer. Everything about him is remarkable.
He's doing
the last tour of the ELO catalog. He's never going to tour again.
I'd go see
it. And I'm seeing these ads, and then on Saturday I get an email. Rob, local sober listener who has two tickets for the Jeff Lynn ELO extravaganza coming 9/25 to the DC Capital One Arena. And then he provides a link. Any interest? My family's not into it, especially on a weeknight. Supposedly his final tour, Paul from Herndon.
Right, nice.
And yes, I'm calling him on this. I'm going to that concert with a man I've never known before.
Hello, Oscar. This is Paul. We have Rob Spiewak.
Paul,
he's chained to a bed in my basement.
Rob and I have a password use with Bank of America. If you share that with me, then I'll believe you.
I'm sorry we can't put him on the phone. He's in a cage now.
Can you guess what Rob's password is, guy?
The password is Birkenstock.
No, it would be vodka.
Not anymore. We've changed it.
Did you do any vetting?
Not yet, but I will call
him.
You
have to do extreme vetting.
I've contacted a guy.
Okay. Well, also, if I'm just meeting him at the venue, you know, you don't need a lot of vetting.
You know, there's one thing that drives Rob more than anything, and it is if you've got a free thing for him, I mean, it's forever. From stealing out of the prize closet everything that wasn't nailed down to taking phones out of WJFK when we left. I mean, it's
took them out of the trash. And also, Mike, when you're not making any money, you have to.
That is a grifter's mentality.
There it is. That's a grifter mentality.
They
right
owe
there.
Me. Get another job.
Did you do a dive on the? You didn't.
On what?
Did you do a dive online?
You got to look at the guy.
No.
Did you even look up the guy online?
No, I haven't yet. I was too excited to bring the news to you that the process has started. I might have a friend.
Your father will find a girl that has a crooked smile and then know everything about her within 30 seconds.
Yay for Tiffany.
Yay for crooked smiles.
You have a man who's interested in you, and you're like, oh, that's sweet. I definitely want a free ticket.
By the way.
That's it.
90% chance, total legit.
Yeah,
totally legit.
So.
But if he's going to wear your skin as a suit, you will also want to know what's coming.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
You recognize the name?
I don't, because it's just Paul.
Okay.
So right. There really is
you don't have a last name?
I have a guess on the last name based on
Can
his...
Can you click through his profile and see a last name? Or is this an email?
No, this is a gen... This is an email, and there is a... It looks like it could be his last name in the email handle, but I don't think it is, so I have to reply.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the level... This is the level of engagement that we deal with on the Mike O'Mara Show that sometimes gets frustrating. This is the
this
same
This is why
thing.
Carrie
this
hates
is, this
you.
Is, he would show up, if we weren't shaming him right now, he would show up without vetting, and he would just, because it's a free
you
ticket
could be
to a
getting
concert.
Trolled.
And it's his favorite thing.
You'd be out there like a prom date that didn't show up.
But then again, I still haven't even replied to the email because I wanted to tell you guys about it.
Well,
it's
I
only
think
been
that
in
that
my it's 40 hours.
40 hours?
Well, first
find
of
somebody
all,
else.
40 hours. Yeah. I mean, you
got to pounce.
I don't understand. you know. Yeah, I mean, you got to I don't know.
Thought you weren't interested, didn't hear back. Sorry, found another friend. Boom.
Reach out and then vet the guy.
I will.
I'll need some information. I'll need your social security.
Tell him at least a full frontal.
I called him. He finally sent a phone number, and I said, Paul, I'm really excited, and my mom's maiden name is this.
There you go. Fantastic. Let us know. Can you keep us advised?
Of course.
I mean, if you didn't send, you just lied. You just said you didn't respond to him, and then you called him.
No, he was making a joke.
Mike,
he was making a
that
joke.
That was a feeble joke.
Yeah, it was a terrible joke.
Oh, I thought you really did. Okay.
No.
We'll take a break.
Pretty glad I brought it up.
Are you ready to shed 26% of your body weight? DermGlowSkin.com is the ultimate destination for conquering your weight. Just got a few clients this week. Carla's thrilled about that. Take a quiz on the website and discover if you qualify. Experienced doctors will prescribe the right medication, and your weight loss solution will be delivered directly to your doorstep. Tired of waiting due to low stocks? DermGlow ensures that you're connected with well-supplied doctors, eliminating any delays. People have rave reviews. Here's one of them. It's life-changing. It's a game changer. 5 stars all the way. It's like finding the cure to the common cold. It's amazing. And how about this? Thanks for your affiliation with Chiral. I'm so happy. 45 pounds down. I'm feeling healthy. I feel like myself again. I still have a few pounds to lose, but I'm on my way and I'm able to do it. Your future awaits you. Visit DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight loss button and kick off the best journey of your life, because with DermGlow, you can do it. Before we get to the flip side, I want to say thank you to all our VIPs who got their signed hats. Really, really grateful for all the people with our wonderful hat promotion. Lawrence from Woodbridge, Woodbridge, Virginia. Jerry from Mobile, Alabama. Jennifer, another Catonsville person.
Wow.
Eric Zoolander. Stu Glinski from Fairfax. Rick Dahl from Wichita. Carl Triplett from Clermont, Florida. Paulie Christine from Staten Island got a signed hat. God bless you, Paulie. Stephen Hernandez from El Dorado, California. I'm sorry, El Dorado, Kansas. My apologies. Our friend Rick from Concord and Matt Bonner from Rockville, Maryland. Thank you all. That is a lot
Thank
of people
you.
Who got the VIP
Good guys.
Hats.
We
Good are
guys.
Very, very thrilled. More good stuff coming at TMOSstore.com. And more hats, more good stuff in the future because you made this a successful. For those of you that missed out, folks, this is the way we're going to be doing it. We're going to do limited runs, and you never know when they're going to pop up. You never know when it's going to happen, but we'll give you plenty of notice when we're going to put them up on TMOSstore.com. Thanks a lot for indulging.
Something great happened before you and Oscar showed up today as Mac and I were talking, and he called the flip side the flipper.
There's flipper.
And it really made me laugh. He says, do you have the audio for the flipper? I said, I do. And I said, Mac, is your back
Devil's
bracket busted?
Ducks, Bulldogs, Crimson Tide, Huskies, Tigers, Wildcats, Flip-Flack Fighting, Illini, Volunteer Site.
I said, Mac, is your bracket busted?
Blue Devils, Boilermakers, Blue Jays, Bulldogs, Crimson Tide, Huskies, Tigers, Wildcats, Wolfpack Fighting, Illini, Volunteers, Cyclones, Tar Heels, Aztecs, Cougars, Golden Eagles, every March the same routine, take my bracket and douse it in gasoline, the Sweet 16.
A lot of biggies in there, Blue Devils, yeah. Huskies, I'm hearing some of the big names. Michael came up to me, Michael is such a sports fan, he came up to me and said, Dad, I think we should lay some money down on UConn.
I mean, they're demolishing everybody.
Funny.
Wow, he is
that
his father's son.
Mm-hmm.
John Mayer, I like his music. I think he's interesting, but he's definitely his own performer. He has his own style. And I saw this on Instagram, and I don't know why it cracked me up so much. This is if John Mayer sang the theme to SpongeBob SquarePants. I don't know why he would do it.
I'd
unless
like
he was
it. I like
trying
it already.
If he was trying to bone Sandy the Squirrel. I think that might be the...
In a pipe on the sea, SpongeBob SquarePants, soaring down past the sea. SpongeBob SquarePants, it's not like a monster, be something you wish. SpongeBob SquarePants, drop on the deck and flop like a fish. SpongeBob SquarePants,
not good.
He had a pretty good run. He had a pretty good run.
Yeah, but I was just trying to find the.
It seemed like
a lazy
iteration. Yes.
Lazy.
Well,
how do you
John
actually
Mayer
sing
might
it,
be a
Mike?
Little
you know
lazy.
Better.
Yeah.
Who lives on the sea?
How would Adam Sandler sing it?
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob SquarePants, yes, you Yellow embarrassed me.
Whatever. I wish I had the lyrics.
You know? Okay.
That might be a new feature. We could probably get away with that for at least one day. Where Adam Sandler sings famous songs, you know.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
Okay. So we are all bad people. Because Princess Kate came out and announced notice that she did this on Friday evening to miss the hot news cycle, that the reason she's been out of the public eye is that she had an cancer found and operated upon. This is some of the coverage that was out about Kate Middleton before
Jeff Colbert.
Kate Middleton, the future queen of England, just disappeared.
What is going on with Kate?
Kate Middleton had a facelift.
She actually donated an organ to Charles. The real reason Kate Middleton is in hiding is because William actually got somebody pregnant, but it's not her.
Kate Middleton, where are you? Is this a horror story?
The official word, abdominal surgery. But no one's buying what the palace is selling.
And so that's well, I how get we my were own covering recap, it up until the announcement.
And I didn't know what was going on. I said you know, well,
she's my favorite royal. I love her. I really
that
do.
Is if you believe she has cancer.
No, don't do the double.
That's funny. He's mocking it, which is funny. That look, I thought her her video was very heartbreaking and
yeah,
scary.
Well, you know about cancer, Rob. Come on.
With that.
I know. It was
very scary. Look, I think that all I care about Rob Spiewak right now is that he comes in tomorrow with a confirmation that he's going to the ELO show and that the guy's cool and that he found out, you know, find out if he has a Facebook profile and stuff like that. And by the way, I think it's all going to work out. I really
I
do.
So.
I think everything's going to work out well. I really do. Yeah.
And he, I, you know. If he wears my skin, I hope it looks good on him.
It puts the lotion on him.
That's right. Such a zipper. Let's close with this. Mike, I've been so lax. Happy International Waffle Day.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Nothing like a great waffle.
So Nate Bargatze, you know I love this comic, talking about Waffle Day. He and his friend went to a continental breakfast at a motel or hotel where they have the waffle maker, and it didn't go well.
They had the waffle iron where you make it yourself. So you pour the batter on the waffle iron, you shut it, you turn it over, it locks, it cooks for 2 minutes, you turn it over, you open it, half the waffle comes off, half stays forever. Batter and syrup, they're in clear containers. They're not labeled, but they're in clear containers. He gets the syrup and starts pouring it on the waffle iron. And I'm not even stopping him because he's not doing it where he's going, I've never done that. He's doing it where we're probably going to try it after. I mean, he might know something that I don't know. He shuts it, turns it over, it cooks. He's like looking at us. We're like, I mean, the whole line's like, yeah, what is that going to be? And it makes black smoke is what it makes. Just, I mean, dark black smoke. Just starts filling the lobby. The manager comes over. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I guess I poured the wrong one. These are not labeled. And the guy's like, they're in clear containers. Do you not know the difference of batter and syrup? And he's like, I bet it happens all the time. He goes, I've worked here my whole life and I've never seen this.
So please, respect the waffle.
Respect
That's all I have for you today.
The waffle, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for selling those hats out in 24 hours, less than 24 hours. We're so grateful for that. More good stuff coming. Once again, they will be limited runs. It's the way we run our store. We're a small business. That's how we rock. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you have suggestions on swag you'd like to see at TMOSstore.com, drop Carla at MikeOMaraShow.com. Is that the address? I don't even know the address. I'll get it for
it's
you
It's Carla
tomorrow,
at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Carla at MikeOMaraShow.com. She has her new address there. So Carla at MikeOMaraShow.com if you got a suggestion for something. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
The ciao, Flipper.
Ciao. Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
See you. We hear you, and we stand with you.
You are a blabbermouth!